أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللائين التدامة الباقي لأعدائهم من الآل إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، sisters and brothers in Iman, Salaamun Alaikum. We have been very briefly looking at Surah Al-Jasiyah, Surah number 45 of the Quran, with the blessings of this holy month, which is the month of Quran. And just to connect with the ayat for tonight, the first two ayat were introduction to the Quran itself. Then we looked at ayat number 3-6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about His existence and His power and glory by talking about the heavens and the earth and the human being and the animals, as well as the day and the night, and the issue of the rain, the wind. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are the ayat, signs of His existence and His power. Then we looked at the ayats number 7-11 yesterday, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the earlier passage, He praised those who believe. And He uses the term, those who believe, those who use their aql, and those who have yaqeen. Now He's talking about those who ignore the ayat of Quran and the ayat of Allah in the universe. Those who know but they ridicule the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used very strong terms to condemn them. But then, you know, He is Rahman and Rahim. So first He praised those who believe in the signs. Then yesterday we look at this ayat where He was very strong about, you know, using the terms like Azabun Alim, Azabun Muheen, and Azabun Azim. For those who ignore the signs of Allah and those who ridicule the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so again He goes back to appealing to the human beings, especially those who are ignoring and rejecting His signs. That look at the universe, look at the nature, you know, and you will see the signs of My power and glory and My existence. And so these are the ayat that we are going to look this evening. Ayat number 12. Allahu allazi sakhkhara lakum al-bahr litajriya al-fulku fihi bi-amrihi wa litabtagu min fadlihi wa la'allakum tashkurun. It is Allah who made the sea subservient to you so that the ships may sail in it by His command, and that you may seek of His bounty, and hopefully you will be grateful. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Here we see that, you know, after condemning those people who rejected, again Allah appeals to this method of looking at the signs of His existence in within ourselves and outside ourselves. And this is, as I mentioned earlier, this is the scientific method of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example that Allah brings here, and we'll look at it more in another ayat, is the issue of the bahr, the sea, the oceans, and the rivers, that Allah says, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ. He has made them subservient. He has given you control over them. And, you know, the example that follows, لِتَجْرِيَ الْفُلْكَ فِيهِ بِأَمْرِهِ, so that you may sail ships in it. And, of course, thereby seeking His various blessings. There are many other ayat where Allah talks about this blessing of the sea and the ability of the human beings to construct ships which can, you know, carry passengers as well as goods. And one interesting ayat would be ayat number 14 from Surah An-Nahl, which is Surah 16, we're using the same words, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرِ. Now here He goes into more details. لِتَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا وتستخرج منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا فضله ولعلكم تشكرون. Some of the words are exactly same as the ayat from Surah Al-Jasiyah. He is the one who made the sea subservient to you so that you may eat fresh meat from it, and you may bring forth from it ornaments which you wear, and you see the ships plowing into it. The word mawakhira, you know, it's not just sailing in it, as if, you know, plowing into it. And so that you may seek his bounty, and hopefully you will be grateful. When we look at the bahr, you know, our, interestingly, the video we just saw before, in our own solar system, the most colorful planet is our own. Because 70% of the surface of the Earth is water. And that's where you get this blue color there. And water itself is source of life. In this ayat, Allah talks about لِتَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا. You know, you can get fresh meat from the fish, from the sea, referring to the fish. And وَتَسْتَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ حِلْيَةً. And you extract from it, you know, ornaments for yourself, referring to pearls and corals and other things that people use for decorating themselves and their houses. And then, of course, the issue of وَتَرَى الْفُلْكِ, the ships that sail in the sea, which transport people and good. And of course, going back to the word لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, hopefully you will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of the statement there is وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, even in the ayat from Surah Al-Jasiyah, so that you may seek his bounty. Now, his fazl is of different kinds. And one of the things that we see from the water is the issue of power and electricity. You know, our life in the modern society has really completely revolutionized and changed because of power and electricity. And this comes from the way we control the water in the rivers and the sea. And so this is, again, one example where Allah is saying, وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. There will be many, many other things that we still do not know how human beings will be able to dominate the water in order to benefit themselves and the society. Ayat number 13, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That he has made. Now Allah goes not just into the issue of al-bahr, the sea and the rivers. No. He says he has made subservient to you all that is in the heavens and that is in the earth. And this is minhu, from him. This is his blessing. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. And in this there are signs for the people who reflect, who use their fikr and their aql. And this is where we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is basically saying that when you look at this whole universe as we know it, you know, human beings, we are not looking at the size, but we are looking at the status. You know, human being has been put at the top of the pyramid. You know, we have this concept in Islam that insan is أَشْرَفُ الْمَخْلُقَاتِ. He is the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dunya is for the human being. The human being is not for the dunya. And this is, you know, very clear. Even in this ayat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever is there in the heavens and the earth, I have made it for you to conquer it, to control it, and use it for your own benefit. There is another ayat, in Surah number 14, ayat 32 to 34, which talks about the same concept in a more longer, you know, form here. الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم وسخر لكم الفلك لتجري في البحر بأمره وسخر لكم الأنهار وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وآتاكم من كل ما سألتموه وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. You know, this ayat is a very interesting ayat. It basically covers almost everything there in the ayat which come from Surah Al-Jasiyah. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Now, the creation of the heavens and the earth is not in the hands of the human beings. This Allah relates it to Himself. But immediately then He says, and He sent down the water from the sky, with which He brought forth fruits as rizqan lakum, sustenance for you. And then He is now referring to the issue of after the water coming down, He made the ship subservient to you so that they may flow in the sea with His command. So even what is happening through us is actually based on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only the sea, He has made the rivers subservient to you, and He has made the sun and the moon, which are persistent upon their course. They go in a direction which has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. Even the sun and the moon is there for your benefit. And He has made the night and the day subservient to you. He gave you all that you have asked Him. If you count Allah's blessings, they are so many that you will never be able to number them. Yet, man is a very unjust and very ungrateful. And that's how Allah ends. You know, He still knows that after all these things, you know, human beings really do not appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. Look at this word, sakhara, which has come again and again, even in the ayat that we are discussing from Surah Jasiyah. The word sakhara means to conquer something, to make something subservient to someone or something, to dominate something. And when we look at this term, we have to realize that the concept of taskhir could be of two levels. One is direct, one is indirect. Indirect is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth. We don't do that. He has done it. But He has done it in a way that life is sustainable for human beings. And all the benefits are there for the human beings. So He has created it. He doesn't give us the control over it. But He says, I have made this for you. So this is an indirect taskhir. Then one is direct, where Allah has created certain things, and He has made them subservient to us, that we can exploit it, we can control it, and use it for our own benefit. And this is where the concept of, you know, human beings being the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in. You know, when Adam is sent as a Khalifa, as the, representative of Allah on this dunya, you know, basically he is to manage all the resources which Allah has created for him and his children. And so when we look at this concept of sakhara and taskhir, we see again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has created all the natural resources, given us the aql and intelligence to exploit them, and this is the test and trial for us, to see how we use them and how, you know, we basically take care of this amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where even when we talk about, you know, environmental issues, these are in a way connected to Islam also. Because when we talk about taking care of the environment, not destroying the resources that we have for the future generations, you know, Allah has given this as an amanat to us. We have that collectively khilafat in that sense of managing the resources that Allah has created for us and the human beings who are going to come after us. Salawat upon the Barab. If you look at the just a year ago, in South America, the miners were trapped. How many days were there? For about 2 months. But look at the, and this is where, you know, of course, the whole world applauded that. They celebrated the rescue of all the miners gradually coming up from the tunnel that, you know, human beings had dug. But when I look at that as an accomplishment of a human being, I see this ayat of Quran, Sakhara lakum. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have given you the power. You know, there were these people there down, I don't know, inside, you know, if you look at the building more than 60 floors down, with stones all around. But as a human being who does not live, you know, the situation just like that. They use all the means that they had and gradually dug the tunnel, and they were able to pull each one of those miners back to the surface. And that is not only a celebration for the human being, this is also a celebration, you know, that we see that the Creator has given this potential to the human being to exploit the nature in a way that we see it now. And so this is the concept of taskhir of the world that human beings can do by the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. You know, one example, especially since we are in Canada, I was just talking to one of the brothers yesterday or the night before at iftar. I said, you know, look at the difference between human beings and the animals. What is the national animal of Canada, which is there in our coins also, I think, or the bills? It's the Canadian geese, isn't it? And what happens just before the winter starts? They all fly back down to, interestingly, Florida. Huh? And just before, you know, just when the spring is about to start, they fly back to Canada. This is the animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them with this instinct. They don't have the ability to go beyond that. You'll see the bee. The way they have been building their house for millions or thousands of years is the same. But then look at the human being. You know, we also live here in the northern part of North America. We also are affected by the extreme cold weather. But unlike the Canadian geese, the human being is stubborn. He says, I'm not going to go to south in the winter. I'm going to build facilities that I can still survive and live comfortable here. This is the concept where we say, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sakhara lakum, that I have made the nature subservient to you, given you the intelligence, you know, the potential to exploit the nature and use it for yourself. And therefore, human beings are known as Ashraful Makhluqat. Salawat. In these ayat that we have seen this evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused on the example of the sea and the ships that sail in it. Yeah, before I go to the one more ayat for tonight, ayat number 13, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ. As a conclusion here, Allah says, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ. Going back to this ayat which we looked at earlier, that Allah has made whatever is in the heavens and the earth subservient to you, and this is minhu, from him. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So it is not that the dunya is for the human being. Let's reverse the statement. It's not the human being who is for the dunya. The dunya is for the human being. Even this ayat from Surah Baqarah, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Whatever you see in this earth is for the benefit of the human being. Allah has created everything for us, but He has created us only for Himself. And that is the issue. That is the relationship that we have to keep in mind. That we are for Allah and everything else is for us as a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the examples that we see, Allah talks about the sea and the ships and how they sail and how we have the ability to use the nature to construct this vessel. Of course, as you know, our knowledge and technology increases and improves, we use different methods, but all go back to the natural resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But in Quran, there is one example of a very special ship. And this is in the case of Surah Nuh, the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا وَلَا تُخَاتِبْنِ فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. O Nuh, you know, build this ship under our eyes, means under our supervision, and by our revelation. And do not plead to me regarding the wrongdoers, they are surely to be drowned. It's very interesting that whether this was the first construction of a ship in human history, we don't know. Whether there was something before it. But here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about this special, the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, the words are, وَاصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, under our supervision, وَوَحْيِنَا, and according to our instructions. And that became the ark of salvation. Whoever was on it was rescued, whoever, even the son of Nuh, you know, when he refused, he said, well, you know, the mountain that we have close by is high enough for me to escape the flood. You know, even he was destroyed. And this is where we see that we come to this story in the Quran, and then a hadith from the Prophet, where the Prophet, you know, uses the ark of Nuh alayhi salam as an example for the ummah, where he says, مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِي أُمَّتِي مَثَلُ صَفِينَةِ نُوحُ. The example of my family, my Ahlul Bayt, in the Ummah is like the example of the Ark of Nuh, the Safina of Nuh. مَنَ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا حَلَكَ. Whoever embarks on this Safina would be delivered, he will be rescued, and whoever is staying away from it, it will be destroyed. And this is where, you know, another, when you look at this similarity, the Prophet is now linking the Safina of Nuh as an example for Ahlul Bayt in the Ummah. But one point probably which we can extract from this ayat is that the Safina of Nuh was constructed under the direct supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, when it comes to the Safina of Ali Muhammad, or Ali Muhammad as the Safina, they are not just ordinary human beings. They are under the direct supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you look at the example of the Kaaba and the Ahlul Bayt. When it comes to the Kaaba, when it was built, Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by the Prophet, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you and your son, you have to purify and do taharat of the Kaaba. But when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ لِيُضْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّسَّ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ وَيُتَحِّرُكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. And so keep this example in mind and look at the status of the Ahlul Bayt in the hadith from the Prophet, which is accepted by all Muslims alike, Shias and Sunnis, both. Salawat wa barakatuh. Let me end again with one passage from the sermon of the Prophet about the month of Ramadan. And this was a khutbah that he had given welcoming the month. This is the passage where he says, whoever fulfills a duty in this month, his reward will be multiplied 70 times compared to the same deed than during other months. You do one good deed during other months. You know, we know every good deed is rewarded 10 times. But during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since he is the host and we are his guest, is giving us bonus. And he says, not 10 times, it is 70 times. And then he says, whoever increases the salawat on me during this month, Allah shall lighten his burden of sins on the day when he shall be lightening the burdens of other good doers. Allah. such a good deed and such a good deal also. How much does it take to do salawat? You know, you're driving alone, listening to the radio. Well, sometimes you can just be listening to yourself. You know, recite salawat. You know, you're riding in the bus or the subway. You know, use that time. If you're not doing anything, you know, recite salawat. You don't even have to carry a tasbih. You know, it's so simple. And what the Prophet says, that if you do that, if you increase the salawat on me in this month, the burden of sins would be, you know, less on the day of Qiyamah. And finally, in this passage, he says, whosoever recites a verse of the Quran during this month, he shall have the reward of one who has completed the recitation of the entire Quran during other months. You know, we try to recite the whole Quran during the month of Ramadan. That's how we divided the Quran physically into 30 equal parts. That's where you have, you know, 30 juz of the Quran. But the Prophet is saying reciting only one ayat has the sawab of reciting as if you recited the whole Quran. And so this is a month of blessing, and this is the month where we can maximize the sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to forgiveness of our sins during this time. Salawat pranay kbara. One more point where he talks about the prolonging of sajdas. Your backs are burdened with your weight of sins. So lighten that burden by lengthening the sajdas. Now, especially during the month of Ramadan, you know, of course, when we talk about Zuhr and Asr, or even in Maghrib and Isha, Zuhr and Asr is work time. And Maghrib and Isha, we have to go for iftar. So we have to make even namaz faster normally than the normal days. We don't even give time for nafila, although you can still do it while we are doing tasbih and the dua. But this relates more to either sunnat prayers or when you are doing namaz on your own at home. And I think the best time would be at fajr time, because when you get up for sahri, or for Fajr namaz, you know, you're not in a hurry. At least majority of us are not going to work that early. And that's where we talk about the prolonging of the sajda. Normally, you might just say Subhana Rabbil Ala wa bihamdi once, or Subhanallah three times. You can always multiply that by the same numbers, three times, six times, nine times, 12 times. And you can do for as long as you want. And this is where the Prophet says, especially during the month of Ramadan, if you prolong your sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, you know, lift the burden of sins from our back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our tawfiqat and give us the ability to serve Him during this month in the way that He is pleased, as well as the way the Imam of the time is pleased. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.